Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Justin Fields, he is big, he is fast, he's got a great arm, he's a great leader. It's hard to really find any weakness in what he did in college, and he was just a winner. I mean, the guy just went out and won a ton of games by being an incredible quarterback.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears on 670 The Score.
Time for our occasional therapy session with Kevin Fishbane, or my therapy session, Kevin Fishbane.
At least you're just leaning into it now.
He covers the Bears for The Athletic. He is at K Fishbane on Twitter. He is on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We've had practices open to the media and lots of available coaches, and you can jump in there and form impressions of everything that's going on, Kevin. And I want to know, is Matt Eberflus's lack of desire to heap praise on veteran players, young veteran players, is that a good thing? Should we be excited about that?
I think you can. I mean, I think you want him to get to know these players and form this team the way he and Ryan Poles want, you know, to kind of buy into this idea of that this was a really bad team last year and they needed to start over in a lot of positions and guys have to prove themselves. You know, somebody who was good for the last scheme might not be as good for this scheme. So I'm generally okay with it. You know, I do think that the he's still just trying to get to know these guys. And I know it's been a couple months. They've had five OTA practices. They had the three practices in April too. So he's gotten a decent foundation. But you know, maybe this is just kind of how he is. I know he went, you know, I don't know if he went over the top, but he was pretty excited about Kyler Gordon when we asked about him last week, and he asked about other guys, and you know, he's just not ready to go there yet. Well, Kyler Gordon was a guy that he identified along with the scouting staff, and they brought in. So I understand it. So I'm okay with it.
I want to expand on that. It's something I talked about with Mike Florio when we had our 10 o'clock segment with him and Kevin. And also, thanks for joining us on Twitch. I waved to you crazily, but I don't even know if you can see the lens or not. So I think it's valid that because of the praise we heard from Eberflus, where he specifically talked about what he appreciated about Gordon and why he was chosen, and the fact that they went with cornerback and safety in their first two draft picks. You're talking about a secondary that we're going to see those two likely start week one. And it also makes me wonder when you see the move where Jalen Johnson is with the twos. There seem to be some decisions being made there taking shape.
Yeah, the Jalen Johnson thing, it's we were very surprised yesterday when we saw that. And there was a lot of rotating. Like, it was hard to kind of keep track of who was running with what group, because guys are running in and out. Suddenly you see Fields in there with wide receivers you don't expect to be playing with them, and then you suddenly see Roquan Smith out there, and then you're trying to track who else is on defense, and maybe it's guys who won't normally be out there. So I will say it's early, it's all that stuff, but we're five practices in, so I'm not necessarily sure like what else they need to see from the guy who's been the starter for 2 years that tells them that he shouldn't be getting the reps that Kendall Vildor was getting opposite Kyler Gordon. So it's like one of those things where it's not nothing, I'm not ready to say it's like something, you know, huge and suddenly Jalen Johnson's getting benched, because I think we've all seen what Jalen Johnson is capable of and we've seen his talent. But it's certainly worth noting, and I think it's worth noting that, you know, Jalen Johnson's got to prove himself. And to his credit, he said that last week. I mean, Jalen Johnson's very aware of everything going on, and he acknowledged last week that it's a new staff, it's a new scheme, that he's got to come in here and prove what he can do in this defense. So, you know, when given the opportunity, Eberflus said some nice things about Jalen Johnson yesterday, and you know, if we talk after minicamp in a couple weeks and it's still the same thing, I think then we can kind of maybe make a little bit of a bigger deal over it.
I read an interesting quote from Cole Kmet, who described Justin Fields' demeanor in the huddle as being noticeably different. And I'm paraphrasing here. I apologize if I get it wrong. It was something to the effect of, he's calling the play now. He's not repeating it or reading it. That he's coming, he knows what he's calling, and he's calling it. And I thought that's no small thing, considering these are all new plays. This is not his second year in the same system. This is new terminology, and I don't know how much it's varying and how different it is, but I think that's a big deal to have him already at this point in a brand new offense evincing that level of control and confidence.
Yeah, one of the things that Cole Kmet said was Fields is talking to each player in the huddle too, and saying, and, you know, telling them the play as opposed to just reading it. And I do think that's noteworthy. What's a little ironic about this, and Dan, you can challenge me if this is not actual irony, that last year, that was Matt Nagy's thing, was he wanted Justin Fields to be able to get to the point where, like, it was a big thing that Nagy talked about a lot, that he wanted Fields to get to the point that he's at now. So this is like a big Nagy thing that we kind of heard about last year. And then now, apparently, he's obviously doing it. And as you said, it's very noteworthy he's doing it with this, with Luke Getsy's playbook, a new playbook, and a lot of new players, too, especially when you talk about the linemen in that group. You know, there's, you know, guys he barely played with last year in Borum and Jenkins, and a new guy in Lucas Patrick, and then you have the new receivers coming in and out. So I do think that says a lot about where Fields' comfort level is at with this offense, that he's able to just kind of, it's not like he's reading it off out of memory. It's not like he's looking at his wrist guard. He's telling them the plays. He's telling them what they need to do. And it, and the other thing Cole Kmet said in that quote was, it gives Cole Kmet confidence when his quarterback is doing that. And, you know, I think when you have a team that is lacking talent the way this team is, it's okay to look to things like that and feel like, okay, if they're having this confidence, if they feel comfortable in this playbook, if they're feeling comfortable with their quarterback, that can just help mitigate the fact that they just don't have the blue chip players other teams do.
Right, they'll be nice and bad instead of unhappy and bad. Gotcha.
Exactly, Dan.
Got it. Okay, good.
He is writing something down. You also had an article in The Athletic, came out on Monday, and it was about outside zone scheme, how the Bears' offensive line play could look under coach Chris Morgan. And not only did it have a lot of really good quotes and some history and context, it also had athletic scores and how they use relative athletic scores. So let's get into that story and what your takeaways were and how you're able to use those tools to help evaluate the current players.
Yeah, well, it was kind of putting all the puzzle pieces together too, Layla. You know, when Ryan Poles said at the combine, I want lighter and quicker offensive linemen, immediately you start, you know, that was, first of all, that was a shot to the guys currently on the team that he told them, we want you guys to get lighter and quicker. And Tevin Jenkins told us that he got his weight down. He's trimmed some body fat. And then you look at every time that day three, like every time they drafted a guy, the first thing I did was, you know, go to Dane Brugler's, you know, guide, and I'm looking at the 40-yard time, 10-yard split. And then I'm comparing that and going to, as you mentioned, the relative athletic scores, which is Kent Lee Platt, I think I got his name right. He collects these, his Twitter handle's Math Bomb. And it's a fantastic tool to compare these guys athletically to players of their position. And all these offensive linemen score really well athletically. And then you get to understand the scheme. You talk to Chris Morgan. You know, I was able to talk to a couple of guys who played for him in Atlanta and Washington, and they explained you have to be athletic. You know, so Chris Chester was a tight end in college before he switched to offensive line. He's got like one of the best 40 times for an offensive lineman ever. And he, you know, explained that when he got to Washington, joined Chris Morgan, that he was like, this is a scheme that is taking advantage of my athleticism, that it's taking advantage of the fact that I can move and I can get into space And so then you start watching teams that do outside zone. You look at the 49ers, you look at the Packers, who do it a little bit, and you can kind of see, okay, you have all these guys who are athletes. Now let's take advantage of them, and then how does that help everybody else? How does it help the quarterback? Trevor Siemian said he likes it. That's one of the reasons he came to Chicago. You see the way quarterbacks move in outside zone, and you think, the Bears have a quarterback who's pretty good on the move. So you can see like how all these things, and again, going back to the fact that this roster lacks talent, can their scheme outweigh that a little bit? And if you look at the guys that they have on the offensive line, the scheme that we expect them to run, you can kind of convince yourself, this kind of makes sense for what they have, and it, you know, maybe it can work a little bit.
Well, and it also lends some understanding to the pick of Velus Jones Jr., because they are excited about his yards after the catch potential, his like rack as well, yak and rack. And if they have this downfield blocking, what a concept that he could be a real weapon for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it goes back to, and I know you have to be careful when you're talking about someone like Debo, but that was, you know, the kind of top comp, right? Like that's the ceiling for Velus Jones. And
right.
Debo Samuel plays in an offense, you know, with a similar style of blocking. Chris Morgan worked with Kyle Shanahan in Washington, Atlanta. So he has a really good sense of, you know, how that blocking could create things for guys like a Velus Jones. And that's why, you know, I know, you know, this was almost a month ago now, but that's why I didn't mind that pick at where that was, because get somebody who's dynamic, like get somebody with rare traits. If you're picking somebody at that part of the draft, who, when you at a position that just is void of those kind of traits. And you can see when you watch some of the teams that do this, how they can get him the ball and get, as you said, Layla, get blockers out in front of him and make it work. So, you know, one of those things about the article is like, I want to be very careful. Like, that article and learning those things about the scheme helps, I think, me understand what they want to do. And it helps me understand if this operates at its best, this is what it could look like. But now the Bears actually have to do it. And that's where it comes back to the talent or the lack thereof in the team is the scheme might work for other teams, but is it going to work for this Bears team? And that's where we got to wait till the pads come on to get a better sense of where these offensive linemen are at. And then when the games start, where Justin Fields is at.
Want to check out Kevin Fishbane on Twitch? You can. You can see him at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Open your notebook for us. What else have you noticed as a professional noticer of things? Anything standing out? Anything looking or sounding different? Anything you say, here's something I'm going to keep an eye on?
So I'm trying to find some wide receivers for you, Dan. Like, I'm trying to look down this depth chart, and we're just getting to learn who these guys are. And like the receiving core, they're kind of lacking some size. So when Tajay Sharp comes across the middle yesterday and he's 6'4", you're kind of like, that guy kind of moves well for his size. And you can see, maybe this is somebody that works his way up the depth chart, works his way up in training camp, because they don't have guys like that. The other thing, and it's so hard with the offense right now because they're in shorts and everybody looks good in shorts. So you're looking for speed. You're looking for guys that just kind of look like they have the build that can help their team. But on the defensive side of the ball, I'll tell you what, Jaquan Brisker is one of those players that you look at him and you're like, whoa, like he looks like he could be a really, really effective safety. And he's already been involved in getting the ball out. You know, there's this emphasis on getting these guys to do the peanut punch every time. And he's the one who's gotten the ball out already yesterday in practice. And you look at him, especially compared to, he was working with DeAndre Houston Carson back there because Eddie Jackson was off to the side. And you're like, this is somebody who is built like a player that Matt Eberflus can have a lot of fun with. Can move him around. He can cover guys in the slot if he needs to. He can be down in the box. He moves great. And that's just somebody that, especially when you're talking about guys you're not used to, it's kind of eye-opening to see someone like that. And another name I'll throw out there, especially because we talked to him yesterday, is Nick Morrow, the linebacker from the Raiders. You know, what Ryan Poles is doing is essentially, I'm taking a bunch of 1 to 2 year flyers on guys. You know, Al-Kadeem Muhammad, Justin Jones, Lucas Patrick, Nick Morrow, and can Byron Pringle, can one of these guys, two of these guys, four of these guys hit? And Morrow can run. I mean, that was the thing we knew about him. But then you see it in live action. Like, he can really move sideline to sideline. You combine that with somebody like Roquan Smith, who could also move really well sideline to sideline. Dave Borgonzi, the linebackers coach, was telling us yesterday that he jokes with the two of them about how their 40 times were 1/100th off from each other at the combine. So you can kind of see that they can really get flexible in the middle of that defense with the fact that those two move so well. And you know, Morrow coming off a year that he missed the whole season due to an injury, is that somebody that can, you know, emerge? Because you can tell how much they like him. They didn't add anybody else at that position in free agency in the draft.
And I also want to know what you're looking for in these last 4 days that we have of OTAs that you're allowed to see or you're allowed to observe. What do you think needs to be seen in order for you to either evaluate better or just stories and what you've noticed that could wrap up?
Yeah, I just want to see some wide receiver emerge. You know, I said Tajay Sharp kind of caught my eye yesterday, but that we're talking about 3 reps in one practice out of how, you know, they think they have, you know, the mini camp and the OTAs, however many of those are, you know, so I want to see that, try to get some consistency, which you can kind of get a little bit more of when you have the 3-day mini camp, because then you're stacking those days. So you want to see a receiver emerge. You know, Byron Pringle is one of those, again, you're just trying to get these guys' sizes at this point, and he's bigger than you might have expected. And if he's got that speed to complement it, you can see how he can be a threat to the team, for the team over the middle of the field. So, you know, I'm just trying to see which of those, because you can't get anything really from the line play at this point. It's hard to gauge a ton from the defense, except for a little bit in the secondary. So for me, it's just this offense and how comfortable is Justin Fields looking. And you want, you know, hopefully some of these more practices, we can see some drives, because that was such a problem last year, like sustaining drives, staying in the field. Okay, let's stack these first downs. You know, how does this offense kind of continue to look? And then can any of these wide receivers become a guy that is at least worth watching when we get to the games in September?
And will we see a screen pass? I don't ask for much, but can we see an actual screen pass that is used effectively and regularly and with the proper anticipation of the right defense against it?
I'm going to get this stat. Don't quote me on the stat. This is really good journalism I'm teaching everybody here. But our my colleagues, Nate Tice and Robert Mays, in their podcast, I think Nate Tice said that Justin Fields attempted 18 screen passes last year and Aaron Rodgers attempted 84. It was some like massive disparity, as they were talking a lot about mm-hmm. Justin Fields and that scheme mm-hmm. and how it just did not fit at all what he does well. And I think you think about the outside zone, you think about what it does, what it can do for quarterbacks. And, you know, you don't just think, oh, this guy's got a great arm, he should throw screen passes. Well, guess what? Yes, he should. If you have got guys who can block and guys who can run, and then that takes the defensive players off him and keeps them honest. So, yeah, maybe we'll see a little bit more of that this season.
The attempts per game, as we all know, were pretty atrocious. I realized when they released the schedule that the Bears had only had 7 games the entire season last year where they either matched or surpassed 17 complete passes.
Oh, gosh.
Boy. That's just not playing the same game that other teams are playing.
They seriously had 7 games where they had fewer than 17 complete passes.
Well, you know, somewhere John Fox is nodding along and smiling. That's the way football should be played.
It's all a problem.
Right, but then you're supposed to get yards.
Come on! Yards, Layla, too?
You're asking way too much.
I know. Yeah,
it was, and you want yards?
Yeah, I want to clarify. So it wasn't that they in 7 games last season, they had 17 or fewer completed passes. And only one time did they hit 17 out of that 7. So if we're going to go into pass attempts, have a field day, because you can have some great comps there.
Or have a fields day.
Hey! Kevin Fishbane, with that, you are escorted out by our security. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye, Kevin.
That's Kevin Fishbane. We have fun with him, and we always have fun. Good news in the world of Chris Ranji. He has got himself a very respectable and solid full-time job in his hometown at the Heritage radio station there. We get to congratulate him and make him uncomfortable. That's next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We'll put Chris on for a minute.
Wow! I feel good.
Well, we'd love to, but it looks like he's trying to blow us off, apparently. He texted Rick. He's like, I have to finish a meeting.
Meeting?
What the hell, man? Like, we booked a time. First time ever doing radio? Like, you say you're going to come on at a time. It's like, oh, well, maybe tell them that you got to get out of your meeting because you're supposed to make an appearance on the radio in a bigger damn market than smelly St. Louis.
And for the record, the one person who we invited to join us on this segment who didn't have to be on time is on time.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi, Lawrence.
Because we wanted to include you in this. Because I know we can't really do a proper transition today because you got Stoney coming up. So we thought we'd have you know, hanging out here with our guy, Ranji. But he's busy.
Must be his first day.
With meetings. First day.
It's almost like Ranji's the worst.
He is the worst.
Do they know that there, you think?
Not yet, but they're going to find out soon.
I was telling Dan and Rick and Mike about your face when you found out Ranji had this opportunity.
I was happy for him.
But you looked at him.
Oh, because, you know, it's typical Ranji. Like, you know, here he is like, complaining about all sorts of stuff. And then you find out, oh, you have this opportunity at a heritage radio station that you grew up listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, jerk.
It was one of the greatest during break moments I've had at the score.
And I'm reminded, it was Greg from Lamont that texted in, isn't KMOX what Terry used to call radio for the living dead? And
yes.
I think it is. Every time we play like a Mike Shannon Cardinals highlight or something, and okay, that's KMOX radio for the living dead. Well, maybe they've changed. Maybe they're the demographics are changing where you can put Chris Ranji on a general talk show from 10 to 2.
Salute! Right? General talk show?
How about
but
that?
Serious general talk show.
Yeah.
Not just sports.
Right.
It'll have a sports vibe to it.
Oh, okay.
Because both of the guys have worked in sports.
Maybe they'll do a little pop culture. Maybe a little bit about what that terrific, disgusting next pizza is being served in St. Louis that human beings are not meant to digest.
Don't tell them that ketchup and barbecue sauce aren't the same.
Oh, I know.
That one hurts. I'd lose a lot of weight if I lived there. That's all I'll have to say about that.
Every time. Look, I do like new Busch Stadium.
Oh, St. Louis is great. No,
it's not great.
The
Dan.
City Museum Dan. Is fantastic.
All right, how many times are you doing that if you live there?
I don't know.
Exactly.
The City Museum's great. Sugar Fire Barbecue is great. I think it's
Sugar Fire is amazing.
It's great.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Yes, I'm also a fan of Faro Donuts in downtown St. Louis.
All right.
But that's about it.
That's three things.
It's three things.
God, donuts. I love donuts.
Chris Ranji is on Twitter at Chris Ranji. He is the co-host of The Show.
You couldn't even have it. Yeah, that's the name of the show?
Well, it's better than like, you know,
Steve-O in the Bucket.
The Morning Zoo. How about Midday Mayhem?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Do you know how we came up with the title? So we
are you in a submarine, by the way? Yeah. Are you in the
What's
bathroom?
No, I am on.
You're in the bathroom, Arch.
The Comrex. Well, yeah, I am on the Comrex unit right now on my phone.
Okay.
Which I've never used before. So.
Oh, that's the problem. They don't actually put Comrexes on phones.
He's probably talking about the Lucy app.
I'm just going to call him instead.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Yeah, get him.
The technology in those parts.
What's great is that Chris Ranji leaves the station as he began at the station, being hung up on.
I think he was on the throne. Seriously, that's what it was.
Here we are trying to congratulate.
It would have been better sound quality had he been there. You had a closed environment, and you know, it's whatever.
I always wonder about these three-man or three-person booths now in radio.
We're doing one right now.
I know, but when you sort of set out to do that, it was like, well, you're this guy, and you're this guy, and then, Chris, you're sort of like the dancing monkey who comes in and makes silly noises for everybody. Are they laying out the roles, or does everybody kind of get to be themselves?
We all kind of get to be ourselves. And that's, I mean, he tried the three of us out together, so I'm hosting with Kevin Wheeler, who used to be a sports guy. He's been a sports guy for a long time. He was at Sporting News Radio in Chicago when that was there. And Amy Markscores, who's actually, she's really into politics and she's very smart. And I've worked with her a few times. The program director, Steve Moore, put the three of us together and liked the way it sounded. So we're going from there. And we're all kind of, you know, going to be ourselves. And I think the idea is there's so much, at least from my perspective, there's so much lunacy. And I think we want to be not crazy. Like, I think that's the idea of this show, is to not be crazy, because I feel like I am sick of the craziness. I'm exhausted by it. So I think the idea is we're just going to not be that.
So this is going to be you, like, really buttoned up? There's not going to be any fun Ranji on this show?
No. I don't mean that. I'm talking about extreme nonsense.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I got
talking
you.
About.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we are not doing that. And we're going to cover a lot of things. I mean, obviously, today, if we were doing a show, we'd talk a lot about what happened in Texas. But it's, I feel like there has to be an appetite out there for people who are just not wingnut lunatics. There has to be a market for that, because it dominates everything else and it drives conversation, and we need to get the hell away from it because it's killing us as a people, literally. So I think we need to not do that nonsense anymore, and I think that's what we want to do on the show. I mean, we'll listen to all kinds of perspectives, and in fact, you guys know me, I'm the crazy liberal. And Amy is very conservative, but she's very thoughtful, and she reads a lot, and not like the wackadoodle Alex Jones types, but she does take in a lot of media. She's very thoughtful, and Kevin's more in the middle. Like, he's very center, and he's very grounded in how he looks at stuff. So I think the three of us will work nicely.
I think we have a lot of questions on behalf of Score listeners, because they're confused. First of all, number one, I seem to see a lot of score listeners asking if you're not going to be on anymore. I don't think that's the case. This isn't a goodbye segment, right?
No. Yeah, no, I guess whatever timing works out, because Odyssey, we're all under the same company. If the score ever needs a fill-in and the time works for me, I'll be there. So, and I'll still be doing stuff for BetQL on occasion. In fact, I think I'm working for them in a week or two. But, yeah, if the time of the show is going to be 10 to 2 every day.
So, in other words, you can't talk to us anymore. The three of us that are talking to you right now, you'll never talk to us again.
Yeah, this is over. It was a great run. I love you all. Go to hell.
This is very interesting, and I wonder, like, I don't want to get too actual inside radio here, but KMOX has been a lot like other, you know, big city heritage radio stations like WGN, where an audience has gotten older. Is this an opportunity to try to grab a little bit younger? Obviously, you know, for those of us who only have cared our entire careers about men 25-54, based on what our bosses tell us, these are other demographics you're going to be talking to right here. Like, when you're picturing your listener, this is a different listener, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually right in the middle of the demographic. So I think I fit exactly what they're looking for. But yeah, I mean, Rush Limbaugh was on the station for, I don't know how many years, 20 years, 15 years, something like that. And this is actually his time slot. So they had a different, after he died, they had somebody else on. But I think the idea of the station, it started to lean very conservative for a while, but the reality is, in the cluster in St. Louis, there's also already a conservative station. So I think he just kind of wants to make this one not that. He just wanted to make it more of a, you know, we're going to have discussions, we'll have some fun, but we're not doing the right wing thing. But yeah, that tends to draw an older audience also. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was an avid listener of Rush. She's dead, you know? So that's kind of the thing. They want to get people to listen who are not dead.
That's a great plan. See, that's good business.
That'll get your share up, right?
And a bit antithetical to perhaps what Terry was saying.
Well, the living dead are different. They can get meters.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But will there be conversation during your midday show like what was birthed from our midday show? Chris Ranji was at an even better game. I know that even before the game starts tonight, because Ranji, you went to the Field of Dreams game, which was the most difficult ticket to get ever. And I'm saying ever for a reason, at least baseball wise. And you left early.
I was trying to be responsible, and don't think I don't regret it. Don't think I don't feel bad about this. I mean, we're a couple of weeks removed from it. I don't feel as bad as I used to feel.
Well, of course, like, not, because nobody's going to keep bothering you about it except me 12 days.
But also, guys, in my defense, I was also with a child that day. I mean, I was the child, but I was with me. So am I not allowed? Like, I was trying to be responsible. I was trying to, you know, I want to get a decent, you know, daddy needs a sleep.
Ew. And so, did you have a dog 40?
No. Never say that again.
It is crosstown. I can't call myself.
I can't call myself daddy?
No.
No.
Oh, my God.
What? I can't?
Why would you think that's okay?
I don't know.
Oh, no. This has gone horribly. Wait. Was the reason you left early because you said that? Because that makes sense.
Did they ask you to leave?
No, they didn't ask me to leave. They invited me.
This guy over here is calling himself daddy.
God, it's no worse when you say it.
Not only are we going to do that, but I'm opening with it.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I'm curious, will they have this particular soundbite?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, his laugh is more professional now. He's already changing.
Shut up.
Yes, you are.
Okay,
changing.
Now, have you done the photo the marketing photo shoot yet with your new co-host?
I think we might be doing some of that today, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Now, you know the rule. You know this advice that I always give you. they're going to say, hey, let's just do one goofy one with like, oh, I'm going to punch you in the face. Or
no, because that's the one they're going
to
use.
Yes, so don't do it. If when they try to do that, don't. Because the moment that's the one they're angling for the entire time, and you're going to say, okay, fine. 5 minutes later, by the time you drive home, it's going to be on a billboard right there on Highway Farty Far.
So
Farty Far.
Ranger, here's what they're going to do. They're going to ask you to wear blue. They're going to ask your other co-host to wear red, and then the guy in the middle is going to be holding the scales of justice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What an idea.
Welcome back to the show on KMOX.
It's a show about shows.
As we are discussing the local school board's decision. Which,
yeah, there's going to be so much of that.
Yeah.
What happens when somebody calls in and asks, what about Danks? Because you know what's going to happen.
What about Danks?
Nobody will do that.
Oh, yeah,
yes, they will.
Yes, they will. They will now. If they weren't going to do it before, and they were, they will now.
No, they will.
That's especially fine. Since you say you don't have a plan. It.
Yeah, I'll have to explain it to people, and then when I'm done, they'll look at me stone-faced like, okay. It's just, you know, it's not funny to anybody but us.
That's okay.
All of
That's
us.
Fine.
That's the point, I thought.
That's the bit.
That's the point of having the opportunity
to do
that.
So if I have to explain it to people, it's just, it's not going to go over well. And you know what? That'll be fine. I don't care. I love it.
All right. Have you actually given yourself a chance to feel good about this and congratulate yourself a little bit on taking this leap in your career?
Well, yeah, this is going to be fun. I mean, it's not like anything I've ever really done before. And it's the first time that people will probably not yell at me to stick to sports because I can't stick to sports. It's literally my job. So I am very much looking forward to that. Not being as much of the comeback to me, because every time I would say anything that's not sports related, if they don't agree with it, but only if they don't agree with it, it was stick to sports. And you guys know this very well. Mm-hmm. Only when people don't agree do they tell you to stick to sports. Only then, never any other time. If they like it, they'll be on your side. But now people can't do it.
I like that people in the St. Louis area are going to get the full Ranji now.
Oh, God. I don't know if they're ready.
They're not.
I don't think so.
Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you very much. I love you all.
Go get him, Ranger!
Congratulations.
It's the Ranger, Chris Ranji, the new co-host of The Show. Not The Cart. It is The Show, middays on KMOX Radio for the Living Dead. I have to. Next up, 3 minutes from an NBA coach you have to hear. You may have heard it, and if you did, you need to hear it again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
got a bunch of thank yous to send out today. Thanks to Mike Florio, Kevin Fishbane, and Chris Ranji for joining us. Lawrence Holmes for jumping in. Thanks to Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell for directing the video feed and handling the Twitch chat as well. Rick Camp, Mike Rankin, and on this Layla Wednesday, we always thank you for being here and look forward to next week as well. When we hear from Steve Kerr, we hear a lot of things. We hear one of the smartest people in and around professional sports, often speaking from the heart, speaking from his own personal history, his own tragic personal history because of his father's assassination in Beirut at the hands of armed gunmen. Steve has never been afraid to talk about what is important to him. And I was struck by the juxtaposition yesterday. We talk about, you know, former athletes and politics, and we see all the hideousness and idiocy of Herschel Walker on our television. And that's the one that you get for the Senate candidate. Well, Steve Kerr continues to coach basketball, and you think, well, maybe someday when you hear from someone like this, that he'll do some things where he can make a difference.
I'm not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us. We are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a tax
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!